You know, sometimes we hear things and we hear it and we hear it and we hear it, and then all of a sudden the Spirit of God shows up and says, this is what you missed right here, just a little part of it. And most of the time, the little part we miss is the most important part. It's the part that's going to keep you and I sustained in God. But if you hear, and you've ever asked the question to yourself, maybe to the Lord, maybe to someone else, how can people come to a service, feel God's presence, or go through the motions of saying they accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, in 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 days, 2 or 3 months down the road, they're gone and don't come back? The answer is, I can't serve God because somebody else told me how good God is. Said, I can't serve God because somebody else told me how good God is. Even though it'll stir my emotions, it'll get me excited. Listen, somebody can cook your favorite meal and invite you to their house and eat and get you excited. But that meal is not going to last you the rest of your life. You got to go eat again. See, I made a statement the other day. 4 or 5 guys, we were all talking. And they got on a subject about who's going to be the next president. Wow. What a subject. So finally, after sitting there, I said, who cares? No matter what you think, no matter what I think, we don't control who's going to be the next president. I said, but one thing we can control. I made this statement. I said, the most important thing I can do, and every one of you can do, is to form a relationship with God that no matter who's president, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt God's in control. And the reason people fear who's going to be the next president is because God's not in control. But if God's in control, we don't need to fear that. We don't need to worry about that. We just need to keep our relationship with God day by day, hour by hour, and minute by minute. Listen, the devil will go to whatever extent he can go to test your relationship with God. You know who? Think about Joseph. His brothers despised him. His brothers hated him to the fact they were willing to kill him. And one said, because of our father, let's not kill him. So they put him in a hole. You ever felt like you were in a hole? Since you've been saved, just, you know, be honest this morning. You ever felt like you were in a hole? The one brother said, let's not kill him. So they ended up selling him to slavery. You see, it doesn't matter if you're in a hole or if you're sold to slavery. If you have a relationship with God, I said you have to have a relationship with God. See, that's what caused the anger. That's what caused them to despise him. That's what caused them to hate him, because he had a relationship with God, because he listened to his dad, because his dad had a relationship with God. So he followed what his dad done. You know, listen to me. I remember telling a guy one time, his little boy was standing there, and he said something he shouldn't have said, and a man fussed at him. Well, it wasn't too many seconds later that exactly what the little boy just finished saying, the dad said it. I said, you just whipped him for something you taught him how to say. Well, I'm the daddy. Exactly my point. You're the daddy, so you should lead him better. You should teach him better. See, we have a job to do. You say, but I can't make people serve God. No, we can't. But we can live in a place in God that it'll cause people's curiosity to arise and get them to go to where God is and experience for themselves. See, there's a lot of things being said, there's a lot of things that has been said about this church. See, we can't focus on all those negative thoughts, all those negative things that has been said. We have to stay focused on God. No matter what people think, no matter what people say, we have to be sure we walk a solid, firm relationship in God. You say, well, how solid should it be? Or how firm should it be? We got to be willing to not share our life when it comes to our walk with God with anybody else. I'm talking about closer than husband and wife. Closer than husband and wife. It's okay to share your bottle of water with somebody or your Coke. Well, it's okay, but it depends whether or not they drank out of it first. See, I had a guy wanting to share a drink with me one time that he done drank out of. I said, dude, I will thirst to death before I drink after you. I'll get me a cup of salt water. You know, I look at these young guys now, they get a bottle that their kids done drank out of, and they get them a taste. Not me. The only person I will drink after is my wife. And I ask her every time, did any of these kids drink out of this? I've seen me leave a Coke because there was doubt whether or not somebody else drank out of it, and go get another one. See, oftentimes we come to church and we want God, but then we find ourselves sharing our life with other things, and it takes the place of God. That will not keep us. It's important to be led by the Spirit. See, Joseph, at a young age, learned what it was to be led by God's Spirit. You say, well, when did the Holy Spirit start? Back when God first started creation. way back then. You say, well, how do you know that? Go home, get your Bible, and start in Genesis. And it won't take you too many verses down to understand God's Spirit started way back then. He began to lead people by His Spirit. Joseph was sold into slavery, only to find himself second underneath the king. Imagine that. But see, when God puts you in a place, the enemy causes a spirit of jealousy. The enemy causes a self-righteous spirit. And the king told Joseph, he said, you can have half of my anything up to half of my kingdom. The only thing he withheld from him was his wife. And that's where the enemy started his target. That's where he started focusing on. And Joseph out one day, and she sees him. And she calls him in and says, lie with me. She says, I can't do that. Not only to the fact I'm holding true to the king, I serve a God that's higher than the king. I serve a God that caused the king to do what he done. And he left. And she called him in. She called him in to the point to where when he left one day, he left his coat. And she started screaming. And she started hollering. And she started accusing him. And he was locked in prison. But even in prison, he found favor with God. How many of you have been finding favor with God lately? I said, even in prison. You know how you could tell when people I'm going to go there. So just hold on. Get over yourself. You know how you can tell when people in prison really, truly fall in love with God? Because there's what you call a prison ministry. There's what you call prison salvation. As long as I'm locked up, I'm going to serve God. But then when I get out, I forget who God is. And we fail to serve Him. Listen to me. When we truly fall in love with God because of a personal relationship, because of a commitment, you know, sometimes we need to go back to the dictionary and look up that word commitment. To be true to it. But you know, you get people in a hole and they want to call out on God. You get them out of the hole and they forgot about the hole. They forgot about the God that got them out of it. And they just start doing whatever they want to do. But he was in prison. And there was nobody in that time that can interpret a dream like Joseph can. Why? Because he was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit in such a way that sometimes when he interpreted dreams, they really they were sorry they asked about the interpretation. See, God got him out of the prison and back with the king. To see, there was a reason God foreknew there would be a time that there would be a famine in the land, and God took a young man, put him in a place so that his family wouldn't starve to death. You ever wonder why sometimes you feel like you're the only one in your family serving God? Because God's preparing you to lead the way to the rest of them to know who God really is and who Jesus is. And in the book of John, Fourth chapter. Very familiar passage. The lady at the well. You know, just about 4 days ago, sitting there and I got the word going and I'm listening to it, and all of a sudden the Lord says, oh, by the way, about the fourth chapter of John, there's something you missed. There's something people across America has missed. You know, everybody knows the story. Jesus gets there, and there's the lady there, and he asks her for something to drink, and they get to talking. Listen, go back and read it. Read the whole chapter. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God. You know, people's got this concept, and I've said it, and preachers said it all across America, that Jesus was God. We've said it, and it, you know, we've repeated things over the years because it was said. And it sounded good, so because it sounded good, we said what everybody else said. Only to find when you open the Word of God and you go back to Genesis with an open mind. Go back with an open mind. Go get me that book up there. And start reading the Word of God and being led by the Spirit. Guess what? You're going to begin to see things and understand things that we said that was wrong. It was wrong. Pure, plain, simple. It was wrong. So when you understand that things that I said, that the Word of God said wasn't true, you have to repent. How many of you were here last weekend? Saturday, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. If you weren't, get the three tapes. But in order to get everything, you got to start with Saturday. I told Brother Josh this morning. So let me tell you something. Brother Marcel, I don't believe he fully understands how on time that word was. How much that prophecy was needed. Said if he'd only knew. But I also made this statement 5 years ago. Because he said it 5 years ago. God dropped it in his spirit. Way before God opened up the mind of our pastor to begin to preach the things that he's preaching, God already sustained a word that would see us through. But what did he say? He would be 7 steps ahead of him for the rest of his life. I made this statement in that office this morning. I can go to every church in America that I've ever preached in, and I can hand them this book. And I can say, this is what we're teaching. Courageous Living Bible Study from the Characters of Fireproof. I could hand this book to every one of those pastors and give it to them and say, this is what they're teaching. And they'll take it. In the very next service, they'll open it up and they'll start teaching it. They'll never open it and check it out. They'll never go and research on it. But they'll start teaching it. You say, how real is that? Ask my wife. We were standing in a church when a pastor walked up to the pastor where we were. He said, this is what we teach. And the next Sunday, they started teaching it. It was a Joyce Meyer's book. Listen to me. If all those teachings would line up perfectly with the Word of God, they wouldn't have to be on TV begging people for money. Oh, did I say that? They begging people for their last dollar. But you know what the sad thing is? There's people so caught up in it, they'll give their light bill money. They'll give their light bill money. Do you know what the Word says? Give according to what you have. But you could go to those same preachers and say, here it is. Open it up. Because there's something in God's Word that we missed. There's something that we just overlooked. And we've been teaching the wrong way. And they don't want to have nothing to do with it. You want me to tell you why? 95% of the preachers in America will never stand up before a congregation and admit they were wrong. Because they got too much pride, they too boastful, and they too got too much of, look at who I am, look at what my last name is, I'm Dr. So-and-so, or Bishop So-and-so. Let me tell you something, I don't care what kind of doctor you are, or what kind of bishop you are, you need to get in the Word of God and find out the truth of what God's Word means and start preaching it. Listen, there is pastors right now in America. I'm not talking about in other countries. I'm not talking about anywhere else in the world. I'm talking about in America that is living under bondage because they're too scared to open up God's Word and start in the beginning. Quit separating it. Look, I can find me three scriptures in here anytime I'm ready. To fit any kind of lifestyle I want to live and be totally out of God's will. I said I could find me three scripture anywhere to fit my lifestyle that I want to live, any kind of lifestyle. Many of you talking to somebody hooked on weed. Well, God made that. That's for us to smoke. My. See, Jesus asked the lady for something to drink. Oh, and by the way, he was hungry. How many of you ever been hungry, not starving? My wife tells me all the time when we travel somewhere, by the end of the day, I'm starving. I say, no, you're not starving. I fed your snacks all the way up here. You're hungry. She knows when we go on somewhere and I have to go to the dollar store and say, get you some snacks, we not stop and eat. I could have stopped and ate twice for what we spent in snacks. And then I wouldn't have to hear, I'm starving. Tells every pastor where we go, my husband don't feed me. So by then I got the whole church looking at me like, your wife's hungry, shut up. Let's go. Church is over. But listen, Jesus was hungry. How many of you ever been working throughout the day and you got hungry? Raise your hand. See who I'm talking to you. Now, everybody that raised your hand, don't look around. Just that way the rest of them can raise their hand. But listen. How many of you have ever been hungry and all of a sudden the Spirit of God shows up? Or maybe the phone might ring and there's somebody that you're about to minister to. Listen, when the Spirit of God shows up, the hunger goes away. You know, I've been hungry and all of a sudden just get to thinking about God's awesomeness. What replaces hunger in fasting? God's Word, prayer, His presence. So he's talking to the lady. And she even asked him this question, what are you doing talking to me? The Samaritans don't have no dealings with Jews. She didn't understand who she was talking to. See, Jesus broke that curse. But imagine he's standing there. He don't even have a Bible. But it's right here. Said it's right here. He has such a relationship with the Father. And listen, this is where it cuts, where it's different. In most churches in America, you know what they would say? Yeah, but he was God. No, he was God's son. He was man just like I am. Because if he'd have been God, he wouldn't have got hungry. Said if he'd have been God, he wouldn't have got hungry. If he'd have been God, he wouldn't have asked for natural water. Because he asked for water because he was thirsty. And he's talking to her, and he's explaining to her who he is. And she asks him the question, why you came to me? Samaritan has no dealing with Jews. He said, lady, if you knew who it was talking to you, you would ask me for something to drink, and I give you a drink of living water that you'll never thirst again. And his disciples came. Because when he told her that, she said, give me that living water. Told her about the men in her life. Told her everything she'd ever done. And he sent her on her way. And the disciples came and said, Master, eat. And he said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. And they even asked the question, wonder who came and gave him something to eat? His father. Why is he not hungry anymore? Because he ate something that not only satisfies the natural man, it satisfied the spirit man. And she went back to the city. She went back into the town. And she made this statement. And this is where we missed it. She said, come see a man. I don't think she came and said, hey, Jake, we had the most boring service in the world, but I want to invite you to church. Pastor preaches, and he just preaches, and he just preaches, and he just preaches, and I was so glad when we dismissed, but I'd like for you to come next Sunday. What's the chances of that person coming to church? But she went there with enthusiasm and said, come see a man who told me everything I ever done. And he gave me water to drink that I'll never thirst again. And it caused something to arise on the inside of those people. And they came. And the Bible says men accepted Jesus as their Savior. But the men that accepted Jesus as their Savior, they said, now we know. Not because of what you said. Not because of your experience. We're not serving God because you're serving God. We're serving God because we seen it and we heard it for ourselves, and it caused us to want to have a personal relationship with the Father. Listen, You know why you keep falling back in the hole? Because you're trying to serve God to please the person sitting next to you. It's not going to work. You'll always find yourself in a hole. You'll always find yourself back in prison. You'll always find yourself back locked up and out of the will of God. But when you have a personal relationship and you walk with God because you want to please Him, because He is your Father. I said because He is your Father. Listen, I can go to your house, and you'll get used of me going there. And I can go so much that if I want something to drink, I don't even have to ask you for something to drink. I can go to the refrigerator and get it because of a relationship. But how many times we come to the house of God and we have need of God to move on our behalf or fill us with His Spirit to help us in the struggle that we're struggling with, and we don't even feel like we can partake of it? Because there's something wrong with the relationship. Listen, trying to do what other people do will get you in trouble. Ask my son-in-law. You know, I'll tell my wife something, and they try it. Dude, you just messed up. We got 30 years here. You just started. You can't say that. Sometimes you got to earn that right. You know, I think about my Uncle Jesse. He could say things that nobody else could say. He could do things nobody else could do. They'll get in trouble. And I remember being at my house one night, and I said something to my wife, and one of my son-in-laws tried it. I thought I was going to have to be the referee. So finally, I took him off. I said, listen, don't do what I do. Don't repeat what I say. They not like their mama. They like me. They're going to bite your head off. I told one day, I said, listen, if you want to tell your wife something, come tell me and I'll tell her. That way you won't get in trouble. But see, we try to do things, or we try to receive power or an anointing through somebody else's relationship, and it's not going to work. You have to form a relationship. You know, I said this before. The first time I went to my mama's house after I got married and I walked to the refrigerator, my wife was like, what you doing? But see, after so many years, then she could do it. Because you feel there is something that is broken. And the fact that she thought she was going to get fussed at if she opened that refrigerator has left. But there was a time that there wasn't that comfort wasn't there. But you got to work on that relationship. I made this statement the other day. I was talking to the chief of the fire department about going in buildings and going to scenes. I said, let me tell you something. I said, me and you, or me and anybody else in our department, can get in the biggest disagreement you ever heard of. I said, but whether it's a paid firefighter or a volunteer, when you get called to a scene, those feelings has to be pushed away. I have to come to that scene with you knowing beyond what we just done, beyond the disagreement we were just in, I got your back. And I can get there and I can work with you. And if something happens to you, I'll run in there and I'll get you out. Listen to me. There's a lot of people. I said there's a lot of people in our families that we fail to run in and get. The most awful feeling you'll ever have in your life as a firefighter is when you're 30 foot inside of a burning building and you look back and your backup man's not standing behind you. Imagine our family. Listen, I could tell you the feeling because it happened to me. But imagine our family. They're in a burning building and they look back and we're not standing there to back them up. I'm not talking about patting them on the back and telling them, oh, everything's going to be okay. I'm talking about get the word of God and tell them the truth of God's word. Because if patting them on the back, if going and giving them a hug would keep them saved, this church wouldn't hold them. But when you talk about relationship, it changes everything. I remember doing a marriage council. I said, let me tell you something. This woman or this man, it ain't like going to the car dealership and buying you a car. And then you get it and you pay the first three notes on it and find out this ain't the one you wanted. You don't just go trade them in. That counseling didn't go far. I asked the man one time, I said, who's to say in 10 years you're not going to get tired of her? And I looked at her because she kind of gave me that smile. I said, what about you? Well, who's to say in 10 years you're not going to get tired of him? I said, but you got to work on that relationship. You don't just go trade them in because you don't like them no more. Kind of like driving a Chevrolet all your life, then you're riding a Ford and you got to go get one. I got one shaking his head over there and one smiling over here. Then you get a Chevrolet and you put, what you got, 49ers? That's really going bad, huh, Sister Dawn? Thank you, Lord. Look, she'd have been your best friend in the world if you'd have put the Saints on there. See, it's all about relationship. Let me ask this question. How many of you in this service this morning, now I know there's several people that's not here, on the calendar in the back, you had your name for fasting while Pastor them was gone. How many of you remember during that fast the things God began to do? Well, listen to me. It wasn't just for that time. It wasn't just for that time. See, I have some people that was upset at me because of a statement I made. In my shed on a Wednesday, I, I was told this. Brother Troy, y'all have something not everybody has. I said, I know that. And the pastor looks at me and says, no, you don't really understand. Y'all have something nobody else has. I said, I know that. I understand that. I said, but this is what happened. Our people had to learn over the years how to fall out of love with man and fall in love with God. That don't go over too well with every pastor. Because there was a couple of them up in there. It was like I shot them with a 30-yard six and they was floating up in there and they just shot out of air out of their balloon and they hit the ground. And it wasn't easy. They left with their little feelings hurt. But it don't change the fact of who God is. Said, you got to fall out of love with man and fall in love with God and cause a relationship with God. And that's why people do the things that they do. I said, because let me tell you something. 6 months ago, if we'd have called a Monday night service, half the people that was there wouldn't have been there. I said, but people knows what it is to fall in love with God and trust God and want a relationship and please God. In other words, in order for God to do what he wants to do and get people to understand about relationship, the pastor has to be willing to say, take the spotlight off of me and put it on God where it belongs. And not every pastor in America is willing to do that. Tell you what, if this hits the internet, I might not get invited to preach nowhere no more. But that's okay. So that's okay. Because it's time somebody starts standing up for the truth of God's word. Think about it. When that lady went to the town and she said, come see a man who told me everything I ever done. And they came and they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they wanted a relationship with God. They asked him to abide there. They asked him to stay here and continue to minister. And that man, those guys said, now we know. Listen, you might not be able to say that right now. But before this service is over, you should be able to. Now I know. Not because you told me, not because I heard it, because I have a relationship with the Savior which connected me to the Father. Listen, we done been called every kind of denomination in the world. But that's okay. Because if it don't line up with the Word of God, you're in trouble anyway. My prayer is that some of them just slow down, get over their little feelings getting hurt. Get over the fact that they want to be seen and they want to be the one in charge and they want all the glory and they want all the prosperity. Listen to me. God said, God the Father said, I will share my glory with no man. Jesus has a God-given glory. Why? Because he had a relationship with the Father, and his will was to do what the Father sent him to do. And we are about to enter a time that if our will is not to do the will of the Father, if our relationship is not to want to please the Father and let him be our strength, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. You say, well, how fast can I get the Word of God? Go buy you a Bible CD. Listen, it's been about 4 or 5 days. since my CD started over. And I'm not talking about sitting here all day. Just a little while every morning. I'm already in chapter 44 of Genesis. That's long chapters. I'm not talking about times. Look, when we had, well, you read the most chapters when we were teenagers, we wore Psalms out. We should know every word in Psalms by heart. The only chapter we stayed away from in Psalms was 119. And that takes way too long. By the time you read 119, you get 40 of the other ones. I'm way ahead on a chart. But what chart we're going by? See, on man's chart, it looked good. Said on man's chart, it looked good. And they read their Bible. They didn't know he was in Psalms every chance we got. Just read Psalms 123 over and over and over. You get a lot of chapters. And you don't have to read for a long time. But on God's chart, we missed it. I said on God's chart, we missed it. And I'm going to say this. Put that slide up about Wednesday night. Wednesday night, January 27th, 7 p.m. All are welcome. Come and invite your family and friends to hear the message of the gospel from our youth. That means the whole church is invited. Listen to me. And I'm guilty of it. There's a lot of us here guilty of it. You know what, Sister Gloria? I thank God that when I was in youth, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt the whole church was involved. There was adults that I could go to. And I did a lot of times. Went to them and said, hey, I'm having a problem here. And they helped me. They helped me to what they knew. How much more we would know had they seen this revelation that we're hearing now about who God really is. You know, back then, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was all God's. You know, I thank God all the time for that day when he shook me and he said, son, I'd have been an unjust God to send a God to live on earth and sin not and tell you you can't sin. He said, because God can't sin. He said, but my son was all man. He was born with a self-will. He was born no different than you were. I made you and you were born with a will to serve God or not serve God. And thank God Jesus chose to serve him and please the Father. And that's why he made it through this earth 33 and a half years and sinned not. Was times he was upset. He got so mad he flipped the tables over. But he sinned not. See, that's why we can't flip the tables over, because we can't do it without sinning. But he had a relationship with the Father. And his meat was to do the will of the Father. And that's what God's looking for. So that's what God's looking for. So let's be here Wednesday night. You can take it down and support our youth. Let me tell you something. The devil's paying a high price to get them. I said the devil's paying a high price to get them. So let's support them. But most of all, let's work on our relationship with God every day. Let's work on it. Let's strive to be better. Let's continue to be better. Let's be willing to change. Listen. You say, what will a relationship with God cause in my life? A real, true relationship with God. Talking about a real relationship. How many of you... You hear people say, well, I'm getting a divorce. And next week, we're staying together. And 2 months later, I'm getting a divorce again. And a year goes by, we're staying together. That ain't a relationship. Do you know sometimes that's how we treat God? Sometimes that's what we do, God. And then when the enemy attacks, we want to know, well, why I can't overcome this? That's why. Because we never allow ourselves to be in a complete relationship. See, just the wife wanting it is not good enough. We got to both want it. And see, God wants it. But as bad as God wants it, we got to want it. And then it forms together and it becomes one, and then it starts working. And then when the enemy comes, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt we go to our Father, and our strength comes by His Spirit. Oh, by the way, if you want to know the difference, and what Pastor's been preaching about, say, in Holy Ghost, in Holy Spirit, go to your Bible or go to your phone. How many has a phone? How many has the Bible app on their phone? Go to your phone. Find your scripture where it says Holy Ghost and define that word ghost. It'll make you not want to say that no more. Said it'll make you not want to say that no more. But you see, over the years, because everybody else said it, I never even thought about going and defined it. You know when you really need to start testing what people say? When you get around these preachers that'll never say, go and check out what I'm saying. And if you find something that I said that's not in the Word of God, come over here. Let's sit down and find out what it really says and we could fix it. I've never heard that till our pastor said it. And I can tell you, over the years, from the age of 14 until 1987, we went through quite a few pastors. I mean, at one time, we were switching pastors in Venice so much, we didn't know if they would be there the next Sunday. God don't change His mind like that. You know, just last night, I had Chris and them was at my house. We all sitting down talking. Your brother Eddie was telling me the other day in Mississippi, where they go to the hunting camp, there's a church that's, the name of it is the Divided Church. It's just one building, right? Half believes one thing and the other half believes the other thing. They fighting for the building. Nobody wants to leave, so they called it the Dividing Church. Listen, quit dividing yourself from God and get a relationship with God and you won't be divided no more and you'll believe the Word of God. Maybe I need to go preach at that church. Might take up hunting so I could go there. I went to a town one time, and you walk and there's a church right here, and across the two-lane highway was the other church. Because half of this church got mad, they went across the street, opened up them one. Listen, they were so close together they could share the same parking lot. But it was okay. Why? Because they failed to see the truth of God's word. Because people are scared of relationships. So they're scared of relationships. But that's what it's going to take in this last day. That's what it's going to take. Let's all stand. Just go home and read the fourth chapter of John.